The opening of our parasha, we read, Shoftim, Shotrim, Titeim Lecha, Bechol Sharecha. This is the command to set up a legal system. Shoftim, judges, Shotrim, officers who will enforce the rulings of the judges. Titeim Lecha, Bechol Sharecha have to be set up in every location, in every community. A number of commentaries, going back to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, ask that there seems to be an extra word in the Pasuk. Shoftim, Shotrim, Titeim Lecha, Bechol Sharecha. Set up judges and officers for yourself in every community. Why do we need the extra word Lecha? Wouldn't the Pasuk be just as intelligible and readable if it said Shofti v'shotri and titain b'chol sharecha? The word l'cha doesn't add anything. It seems to be unnecessary. So among the answers that are given, I'd like to share the approach suggested by Rav Moshe Feinstein in his sefer Darash Moshe, where he suggests that in fact, on the simple outward level of the pasuk, as describing the legal system, perhaps the word l'cha is unnecessary. But rather, he suggests it was added because there's a deeper second layer of meaning that is deeply resonant and significant in this pasuk. And that is not just referring to the actual legal system with real judges and courts, rather telling us something that is relevant for each and every one of us, every man and every woman, in our own personal religious lives. That is to say, says Rav Moshe, Shofti v'shotrim titein l'cha. You must make yourself l'cha. Titein l'cha. Make yourself into a judge, make yourself into an officer. What does that mean? Says Ramosha, we each have to become judges. Not necessarily to judge other people. Much more important is to judge ourselves. Don't go through life without thinking, but rather have clear values, have clear goals, have clear standards, and then have the courage to be honest and think about, am I living up to my standards? Am I living up to my values? Give an honest judgment, give an honest evaluation of your behavior. Don't just go through your life without thinking. And if it turns out that we have fallen short, and we all do from time to time, then be a shoter. Figure out practical ways in which you can help actualize and execute that judgment. In other words, help figure out ways practically to live up to the values where the shofet, where you judged yourself as falling short. This is a very beautiful and original and creative idea that Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests. He takes actually much further, and he gives a number of examples of halachos, which are very important methods and guidelines for an actual judge in a real beis din, in a Jewish legal court. But Rav Moshe here, like he does with the broader point, he shows how they have a secondary, deeper level of meaning as it relates to each and every person in their own religious life with their own religious growth. So for example, says Rav Moshe, just like sometimes a Jewish court will impose the obligation of a shvuah, a need for one of the litigants to take a vow or an oath, so too, says Rav Moshe, when we're judging ourselves in that spiritual sense, in the religious sense, sometimes we may feel the need and it may be appropriate to verbally commit to something. That's like a form of a shvuah. We are verbally declaring something like a person might do when they take an oath. Sometimes it's enough to just think or in our heart that we want to do something or not do something. But says Rav Moshe, sometimes if we're really being honest, we'll realize that it'll be much better and much more effective if we take a shvuah, so to speak, if we verbally declare our commitment. Or to take another example that Rav Moshe gives, the bedrock of any legal system is that the court cannot show any favoritism, and certainly the judges cannot be bribed by any one of the litigants. Says Rav Moshe, this is true as well when we are judging ourselves. We're all excellent, fantastic defense attorneys when it comes to defending and rationalizing our own behavior. But that's a mistake, says Rav Moshe. That's kind of a show of favoritism. We very much like, we love the litigant because we love ourselves. And therefore, we're showing favoritism to that person. And we're giving that person maybe an unnecessary and overly generous benefit of the doubt because of our personal bias towards the person, towards ourselves. That's not appropriate. Similarly, says Rav Moshe, we are often bribed. A bribe doesn't just come in the form of the cliched wad of cash in the envelope. But it also there are many other subtle forms in which a judge can benefit from one litigant or another and therefore have their judgment skewed. So too, says Rav Moshe, if we are enjoying a certain course of behavior, a certain action, that in a certain sense is a bribe because it's going to be very hard for us to honestly evaluate whether that's appropriate or not for us because we're really getting a benefit from that action. We're really being bribed by it, so to speak. And even though it's very, very hard to not show favoritism and not be bribed, nevertheless, as the Pasuk says two verses later, tzedek tzedek tirdof. We shall surely pursue righteousness and fairness. Says Rav Moshe, that's not only the calling card of the actual Jewish legal system to pursue righteousness and fairness, but that also is true when a person is judging him or herself. We have to do it as tzedek tzedek. We have to do it honestly and fairly without showing favory and certainly not being bribed. So this is one beautiful explanation of Rav Moshe Feinstein which he takes a pasuk, which seems to be a very important pasuk about the Jewish legal system, but in fact shows that it's not just for the community and the lawyers and the judges, so to speak, of the community, but rather relates to each and every one of us with a deeply resonant spiritual message, something that I think is relevant for us throughout the year, but especially now, so close to Rosh Hashanah. A similar phenomenon occurs just a few psukim later in Pasuk Chav Beis, when we are told, Lo sakim lecha matzeva asher sanei Hashem lokecha. Don't offer a korban, a sacrifice on a matzeva, because God hates that. What's a matzeva? A single stone altar, as opposed to a mizbeach, which is totally kosher and legitimate, that has two stones. Matzeva has one stone, and God hates that. Why does he hate that? So Rashi explains, because even though the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, used to offer sacrifices on a matzeva, but in the intervening years after they did so, but before the Torah was given, the pagans and idolaters who lived in Canaan, they started using the matzeva for their idolatrous purposes. Therefore, it became hated in the eyes of God, and therefore, when he gave us the Torah in Har Sinai, he told us we cannot use those anymore. Comes along once again, Moshe Feinstein, he says, I don't understand. Who cares if the Goyim started using it in the interim? Who cares if pagans are doing it? If it was a method of religious observance that was used by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, why can't we do it? If God loved when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov offered a korban on a matzeva, why wouldn't he love when we do it? What's the difference that the Goyim are also doing it? We're doing it because Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov used to do it. So in order to answer this question, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you have to understand what happened at Har Sinai. It wasn't just when we got the Torah that Hashem introduced specific rules, a list of 613 do's and don'ts. It was that, but it's much more than that, says Rav Moshe. By giving the Torah at Har Sinai, Hashem created an expectation of constant religious growth, striving, and aspiration, of always trying to go mala mala from one level to the next. And there's a notion that it's never enough, no matter how much we've done, even if after 7 years of mitzvos and living a good moral and ethical life, there's always still more you can do. A person might be deceived, says Rav Moshe, but the idea of rov zechuyot, the idea that it all goes by the majority, and when I die, as long as I did more mitzvos than averos, I did more good deeds than sins, that's okay. Says Rav Moshe, that's true only for a person who's constantly striving till his or her last breath. Then we add it all up and we go by the majority. But if a person at some earlier premature stage just decides, that's it, it's enough, I did all I need to do, and then they're just going to coast the rest of their life. So Rav Moshe, someone who has that attitude, all of their mitzvos are null and void and they count for nothing. That's the prohibition of a matzeva. One stone, that's it. We need to be like a mizbeach, two stones, constantly striving, constantly growing, trying to get closer to Hashem.